مبلغ فيوس ماي بريير، مبلغ فيوس ماي بريير. May you keep ascending success, save success.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Please repeat after me. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. امیر المؤمنین سیدنا عمر بن خطاب رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ said, ان الدعاء موقوف بین السماء والارض. That indeed, dua is suspended between the sky and the earth. لا يصعد منه شيء حتى تصلي على نبيك. And nothing from it moves upwards until you recite salat upon the Prophet صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. So what do we learn from this? That if we want our du'as to be accepted, then one means is by reciting Durood Sharif as well. May Allah give us the ability to recite Durood Sharif in abundance. Ameen. Now before listening to the bayan, inshallah we'll make some good intentions, because it's stated in the hadith of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, نِيَّةُ الْمُؤْمِنِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِهِ, that the intention of a believer is better than his action. So I'll mention some intentions, and if you find these within your heart, then say inshallah. By lowering my eyes, I will listen to the bayan attentively. Instead of resting against the wall, I will try to sit in attahiyat position to show respect to religious knowledge. Another intention, that when I hear tubu ila Allah, uzkuru Allah, oh sallu ala al-habib, I will reply loudly with the intention of gaining reward and pleasing the one who made the call. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear brothers, indeed, this world is a place for actions, meaning alamul asbab, and the hereafter is a day of outcome. One performs actions in this life, and then he will reward it accordingly in the hereafter. Now, no doubt, those people who live in this world and prepare themselves for the hereafter take the gift of good deeds with them into the afterlife, and they are the fortunate ones. Inshallah, today's bayan will learn or will talk about regard to the hereafter. It's written in Uyun Hikayat that Hazrat Ibn Salt rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he states, once I traveled to Basra to meet my pious and devout friend. When I reached his house, I saw that he was in a very delicate situation, and due to the severity of his illness, he was close to his death. His children, his wife, his parents stood around him crying, and their faces were covered with despair. I said salam and asked, what are you feeling at this moment? Listening to this, my friend said, at this moment in time, I am feeling as if ants are wandering inside my body. Meanwhile, his father began to cry. So my friend, he asked him, oh my kind father, what has made you cry? The father, he replied, my beloved child, the sorrow of you being separated from us is making me cry. What will happen to us after you die? Then his mother, his children and wife also began to cry. So he asked his mother, oh my kind mother, why are you crying? The mother replied, my dear child, the sorrow of being separated from you is making me cry. How will I live without you? He then asked his wife, what has forced you to cry? She replied, my dear husband, our life will be difficult without you. The sorrow of being separated from you is causing a wound in my heart. He then called his children and said to them, what has made you cry? So the children, they replied, after you die, you will become orphans. You will be deprived of a loving father. What will happen to us after you die? The sorrow of being separated from you is making us cry. Now after listening to every one of his family member, he said to them, well, first he said to me, meaning the guy who's narrating this, make me sit. And when he was made to sit, he said to his family, all of you crying is for this world. That you are crying for this world. You're not crying for me. But you are crying because of the fear of losing your own benefits. Is there anyone from you that cried over the fact that after death, what will be my condition? Soon I will be left in a dark and frightening grave. Did any one of you cry over the fact that I will have to face Munkar and Nakir? Did any one of you cry over the fact that I will have to appear in the blessed court of my Creator for my accountability? No one from you cried over the difficulties I will face. Rather, you are all crying because you will lose your worldly benefits. He then let out a scream and passed away. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear friend, brothers, even though this Buzurg, he was advising his family, but he left us with a beautiful mindset. The thinking about the hereafter, we should do this. Truly, we should ponder over the fact that we are able to cry over the losing of benefits of the world. But have we ever cried that we may be deprived from heaven due to our bad deeds? And due to this, we might be made to enter hellfire. Now we try our utmost to gain the blessings of this world. Have we ever tried to gain the blessings of the heaven by going against our desires and doing good deeds? If someone takes our test in the world, we begin to sweat. And even though we might know the answer, we'll be pressurized and we'll start sweating. And due to the pressure, we'll forget. But have we ever trembled due to the fear of the test in the grave and the hereafter? Or have we ever made the mindset of preparing for that test? And remember, my dear brothers, this world and all of its blessings are temporary. Therefore, along with these temporary comforts and taking pleasure from the blessings, keep in mind that you will be held accountable for all these blessings. Accountability is not just for food, drink, or the things that we use, but also for actions, and we will be held accountable for every single action we do. Therefore, before doing anything, we must definitely think for a moment that why am I doing this? Is this beneficial for me? Is this harmful for me? You'll notice within the Dawslami's Bayanat, you're made to do intentions. Why? Because the action is based upon the intention. If there's no intention behind it, there's no reward upon it. So, my dear Sahibuddhas, whenever you do a permissible action, try to make as much as good intentions as you can. Remember, on the Day of Judgment, we will be held account for every limb of our body. For example, the eyes from which people look at things that Allah has forbidden us to look at, they will be held accountable. Those eyes which were used for unlawful gazing, those eyes which were used to watch films and dramas, those eyes which we took pleasure from looking at shameless scenes, will be held accountable. Similarly, the ears, those ears that are busy listening to haram, listening to songs at night, listening to useless and shameless jokes, listening to backbiting, tail-bearing, and to people talking about other people's fault, they will also be held to account. Similarly, people's hearts will be held to account. Those hearts that are used to being filled with bad thoughts, malice, hatred, jealousy, and so on. Therefore, my dear brothers, it's said, sensible is that person who is successful in keeping his limbs far from sins due to the fear of the hereafter. Otherwise, my dear brothers, on the Day of Judgment, when we will be asked to account for our limbs, we won't have any answers. Allah just says in the Holy Quran, Para 15, Surah Bani Israel, verse 36. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna as-sam'a wal-basara wal-fu'ada kullu ulaika kana anhu mas'oola. Indeed, the ear, the eye, and the heart, all of these will be questioned. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now regarding the commentary of this verse, as stated in Tafsir al-Qurtubi, that from these there will be accountability for what every limb has done. Therefore, the heart will be asked that through its means, what thoughts were made. Whereas the eyes and ears will be asked that through their means, what things were seen and what things were heard. Allama Sayyid Mahmood Alusi Baghdadi rahmatullahi ta'ala states that this verse proves that a person will be held accountable even for actions of the heart. For example, making a firm intention of committing sin, or the heart being indulged in a various spiritual disease like malice, jealousy, and thinking you are better than others, so on, will be taken to account. Scholars have further explained that a person will not be held accountable for just thinking of committing a sin unless he makes a strong and firm intention of committing it. Hakim al-Ummat Mufti Ahmad Yarkan rahmatullahi ta'ala states there is accountability for bad intentions and bad beliefs. But the whispers that come into the heart uncontrollably are forgiven. Then he further goes on to say, these internal and external limbs will be asked on the day of judgment, that did you perform any wrongful acts? Therefore, take heed and perform rightful acts with these limbs. But these questions, keep in mind, they won't be asked for Allah's knowledge, as Allah knows everything. But it will be asked for the criminal to confess his crimes. But there's no doubt in the fact that everything has a purpose in life. Now, whether we know the wisdom behind it or not, that's another thing. But know this, that everything has a purpose in life. Now, if everything has a purpose in life, surely humans weren't created without a purpose. And it's even mentioned in the Quran, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خُلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. So do you think that we have created you in vain and that you are not to return to us? Even the Quran is mentioning, do you think that we have created you in vain, meaning without any purpose? Now what is our purpose? The Quran itself tells us in Surah Al-Dhariyat, within Surah 27, it's mentioned, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I have created jinns and humans only for this, that they should worship me. So the Quran has told us that we have not been created without a purpose, and it's also told us our purpose, that we have been created solely for the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Madis Ramadhas, there's no doubt in this, that this world we live in is a cultivated land. Meaning, this is the land where you sow the seeds, and then inshallah on the day of judgment, according to what you've done, you'll get the harvest. The actions performed in this world will be of utmost importance in the hereafter. To make the hereafter better, it is important to do good deeds. When we put our main purpose, which was to worship Allah Azza wa Jal, when we put this in front of us, then it becomes easy to make our hereafter better. Just ponder that when the time for exams comes in madaris, university schools, or colleges, the students, what are they seen doing? They are seen to be trying their very best to succeed. Now they don't even remember to eat or drink, that's how much they want to succeed. They've forgotten their food, they've forgotten their drinks. All they want is just success in the exams. They focus on trying to remember every single question, even if there's only a slight chance I could possibly come up in the exam. And we know, this might come in, but we're not going to do this, we're only going to memorize this. A student wants to pass everything, so he'll memorize every single thing, even though he's not going to come in the exam. Now, what do the students do? They only have one desire, which is to prepare for the exam and attain a high position. Now, within this scenario, within this whole environment, while the students are preparing, the parents, they give their full support. Because the parents know that if their child is successful in the exams, he will grow up to be a successful person. Also, if he grows up to be a successful person, his name, as well as our names, will be elevated in the family. He will earn lots of money and wealth. His future will be better. Just think, when we and our children have occupied ourselves so much for the world, then why not for the exam of the hereafter? The one that counts for us. We might get a temporary benefit within this world, but the hereafter, everlasting, that's never going to end. How much do we prepare for that? Have we ever been concerned about preparing for the exam of the hereafter? Have we ever once in our life been restless for succeeding in the exam of the hereafter? I pray to Allah that He grants us the ability to think about the hereafter in abundance. Ameen, bijahin nabiyil ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now what's the thing that prevent us from thinking about the hereafter? That ignorance, this is the thing. And where ignorance brings about lots of problems and troubles, it takes a person far away from thinking about the hereafter. The life that was spent in negligence destroys a person completely. Our pious predecessors, rahimahumullah ta'ala, their mindset was that not even a single moment of their life should be spent in negligence. Rather, every single second of their life should be spent in good deeds and doing acts for the sole pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, as well as living a good life and performing good acts, these pious predecessors, even though they were always remain busy in good deeds, they were still frightened that perhaps their acts may be seen as negligent. Imam Muhammad Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala states, Shaykh Abu Ali Daqqaq rahmatullahi ta'ala said, I came to inquire after the health of a pious person. I saw that his students were sitting around him and they were crying, and also the Buzurg who was at his deathbed, he was crying. I asked, oh Shaykh, are you crying because of leaving this world? He replied, no. And then he goes on to say, I'm crying because my salahs have been missed. I then asked, out of surprise, but you are an ardent worshipper, meaning you're a great worshipper. How have you missed your salahs? And then the reply he gave, my every sajda was done in negligence. Whenever I raised my head from sajda, I did so in negligence, and now I am dying in utter state of negligence. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Madi salam, as you heard, that the pious people of Allah Azza wa Jal would spend every moment in the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. And although they would be busy thinking about the hereafter all the time, despite all this, they would still think that the worship they performed lacks spiritual perfection. They would still think that the worship they performed is incomplete, is not worthy for Allah. They would be frightened of the divine will of Allah Azza wa Jal. But alas, if you look at our condition, or the condition of those negligent people, is that it's such that firstly, they don't even perform good deeds. And if they do perform good deeds, they can't keep it within them to hide their deeds. They have to publicize it. Although the pious people of Allah would remain away from sins, they would always shiver and cry out of the divine fear. But on the other hand, you have the negligent people who are busy committing sins day and night fearlessly, but they're not frightened whatsoever. And then they speak as if no one is more pious than them. This is the state of the negligent people, a pious person. He states, people make three statements from their tongues, but their actions are opposite. The first thing, he says, that people say, we are the bondsmen of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now what is a bondsman? Bondsman is someone who is bound, duty bound. So I'll mention this statement again. They say, we are the bondsmen of Allah Azza wa Jal, but they don't perform actions like a bondsman. Rather, they perform actions as if they are free. Remember what I said at the beginning, bondsman is someone who is bound, opposite to free. We say we are bondsmen, but we do the opposite as if we're free. The second statement, that they say Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who provides us with sustenance, but until they don't gather the things within this world, their hearts are not satisfied. And this is totally contrary to their statement. And then the third thing, which the Buzurg mentioned, is that they say, eventually we will die, but they perform such actions to show as if they're never going to die. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us the ability to act upon this. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear Salamanders, today, certainly our conditions are becoming worse. And it's becoming such that we are trying very hard to only gain the world, but we are negligent in thinking about the hereafter. Day and night we dream of becoming rich, roaming around in flashy cars, or implementing the latest fashion. But we forget that one day, we too are going to die. We will have to leave this lively world empty-handed. We won't take anything with us apart from our deeds. No one from us can even guarantee that we will be able to breathe again after this single breath. It is possible that this very breath we are taking now is our last. We are hearing news all the time that so-and-so was perfectly fit, healthy person. There was no apparent problem with him. But all of a sudden, the heart failed. He became a victim of death and reached the dark grave. It is narrated that he built a house in an area where there would be floods. Now when he was told that this is a very dangerous place, move away from here, and he replied that I know this is a dangerous place, that there's floods coming here, but its beauty has made me curious. He was then told that all liveliness and beauties are part of life. Therefore, you must safeguard your life and not put yourself in a dangerous position. Then he replied stubbornly that no matter what, I'm not going to leave this place. Then one night, when he was asleep, a flood came, he drowned and died. Similarly, this is the state of the world. That we know this is a dangerous place, is a deception. Still, what do we say? No, we want the world. And if we're going to be negligent like this person who lived in an area with these floods, then you know what our status. Similarly, another waqia narrated about a student that was in his final year and he was studying at a medical college. He went on a picnic with his friends. Reaching the picnic point, his friend went to the stream to swim, but he started to drown. Now the doctor of the future emotionally jumped into the water in order to save him, but he didn't know how to swim. What happened was, his friend succeeded in getting out, but the doctor drowned. Weeping and crying began, and the only hope of the parents' old age became a victim of water. The golden dreams of the parents could not come true. The student had entered his grave before the examination of the medical college. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We need to wake up. Develop the mindset to think about the hereafter before you die. But after you die, you won't get the chance. There's no point in thinking about the hereafter, you're there. If you remain negligent from thinking about the hereafter, and we remain busy in this lively world, and suddenly we get caught in a dangerous disease or accident, or all of a sudden we stop breathing, and we are laid to rest in our graves, then there will be nothing other than regret. We will have nothing in our hands. Get rid of these vain hopes that we are young yet. We are healthy. We have a long life ahead of us. We'll start doing good deeds when we become old. Remember, keep this thing in mind, that death does not only come to old people. Rather, healthy, joyful, lively youngsters have also been victim of sudden death and made to rest in the dark grave. The status of this world is like a puff. Now there's two destinations, hell or heaven. The puff is that which we choose. We can either be obedient to Allah and receive the destination of heaven, or we can go against that which Allah and His Rasul have commanded and lead toward the destination which is other than heaven. Now the person who falls in love with this worldly blessing remains negligent in the hereafter. Negligence is such that it makes a person stronger in committing sins. Negligence is such that it keeps a person far away from good deeds. And negligence, my dear brothers, is a means of attaining the displeasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant us all the blessings of this world in abundance. Now, good business and employment, these are a blessing. A good house with good decorations are a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal. Having a good form of transport is also a blessing. Now, for the parents, their children are a blessing. Even though the children might be a trial, but they are a blessing. Now, remember this, with every blessing you get, there's always going to be a trial. For example, if Allah grants someone status, there's always a trial behind that. And what is that trial? That will my person be sincere with the status I have given him, or will he show off? Will he be steadfast upon my commands, or will he begin to show off? It is stated in part 28, Surah Al-Munafiqun, verse 9, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُلْهِكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. O believers, let not your wealth or your children or anything cause you to neglect the remembrance of Allah. And whosoever does this, so it is they who are in loss. Now in the above mentioned verse, the believers, the Muslims are being advised that, O believers, don't let your wealth or your children make you neglectful, heedless from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, like it did to the hypocrites. And whosoever does become negligent by remaining absorbed in this world and forgets his religion, he doesn't worry about his condition due to being busy in the love of money. He doesn't worry about his condition due to being engrossed or busy for his children's happiness, or he remains careless of the comforts of the hereafter, then such people will be suffering a great loss, because they did not care about the blessings of the hereafter, which are endless, always everlasting, but rather he cared for this world in which the blessings are temporary. Alas, today the practical condition of the Muslims is becoming worse. To earn money, people are willing to travel to another country, but they can't even go to the masjid that is around the corner. People spend money like flowing water on decorating their homes and buying fancy cars, but not willing to spend a little in the way of Allah. Rather, they go to the extent that they don't even pay their zakat, even though it is an obligation upon them. Also, what the mindsets do we have? To increase wealth, we try to adopt different ways. We can do this to get more money, we can do this to get more money. But how many ways do we adopt to get more good deeds? We can do this for more deeds, more deeds. There is time now. You're still breathing. Wake up from negligence and repent before death comes and takes you away from your illuminated rooms, your soft beds, and puts you to rest in a dark grave full of insects. You know, when you die, you'll be screaming. You'll be saying, "Oh, my Creator, send me back to the world. I'll go back and worship you in abundance. I will give all my wealth in your way. I will offer all the five salahs with jama'at in the first row of the masjid with takbir ola." But screaming at that time is of no point. It'll benefit you none. Therefore, whilst you have time, it's better for you to spend your life according to the Sharia. Refrain from major and minor sins and stop others as well. Like for your brother what you like for yourself. Do good deeds yourself and encourage others. Now, one way of adopting a mindset to worry about the hereafter, alhamdulillah, the environment of Dawud Islami is in front of you. Like the brother mentioned before me, there are 12 main works of Dawud Islami, 12 activities. Some are daily, some are weekly, and some are monthly. There's a terminology within Dawud Islami called Fikr-e Madina. Now, Fikr e Madina, what does it refer to? Pondering about the matters of the hereafter. Alhamdulillah, maybe we sacrificed upon the mindset of Emir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatuhu Aliyah. That he's given us a booklet by the name of Madani Inamat. Alhamdulillah, there'll be stores at the back where you can receive this booklet as well. Have a look at it. Eventually, we are going to die. The hereafter is going to come. There's nothing preventing that. So, give away our time and go to the stall. Now, within this Madani booklet is a question form booklet. And it's a way for us to ponder about those things, to ponder about the hereafter. It asks us, have we read our five daily salah? It's individual self-accountability. It's stated by Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that every night he would strike his feet with a whip and ask himself, "Oh Umar, tell me what you have done today." Such a great personality who's from the Ashra Mubashara, someone who's blessed with the glad tidings of Jannah in this world, and yet he would still take his accountability. Then who are me and you? In the back of this Madani booklet, the last page, there's a hadith mentioned that to ponder over the matters of the hereafter for a moment is better than performing 60 years of worship. So may Allah give us the ability to worry about our hereafter. May Allah give us the ability to act upon what has been said. And may Allah give us the ability to pass this knowledge on to those people that are home and our friends and family. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi. Ameen. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Mubalik for you is my prayer. Mubalik for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success, success.